don't know the law. Yeah, there's laws. You shouldn't be trying to steal my house. Yes, you are.
You know, I think I found my new least favorite trend across the United States of America, and that is the rapid abuse of squatters' rights. And a perfect example of this is what we're going to talk about today, where a homeowner, who, by the way, inherited their home from a dead relative, found herself being arrested because the housing thief managed to get in for 30 days, which in New York City, for some ungodly reason, gives you those god-tier squatters' rights, and that makes the home theirs. Now, we're going to get into this, we're going to talk about this, but before we do, I want to thank everybody who signed up over at actualjusticewarrior.com/join.
Give me the money. Okay.
And remind you that on Saturday, April 27th, Austin, Texas, I will be at the Mines Fest. Link to tickets, top of the description.
How about that? A squatter standoff. A property owner confronts a group of people she says moved into her $1 million home in Queens. And our cameras were rolling as dozens of officers showed up.
So one of the things that I noticed about the local news in New York City is apparently the message has got around and they're deciding that they're going to be blurring the faces of a lot of alleged criminals, including this person, although to be fair to the local ABC affiliate over here, this guy appears to be somebody who was subletting an apartment only there for a couple of days. So maybe, just maybe, he had no idea that this was in fact the situation that was going on. But of course, this is yet another squatter situation where in New York City, for 30 days, if you manage to get yourself in somebody else's building, for some reason, it takes 2 years to evict you out of said building.
This is how I got a free house in Portland, Oregon, and how you can too. So the first thing I did was find a vacant house that somebody was trying to rent. Next, I looked up how to break into a lockbox without using force. Thanks, YouTube. Next, I forged some documents. This made it look like I had a lease agreement, and I called the utility companies and had the utilities put in my name. I'm not going to pay them, but they don't know that. When the owner showed up, I politely explained that this was my house now, and they need to leave. So they call the police, and I show them my lease agreement and the utility bills, and they tell the owner that this is a civil matter, and they've got to sue me.
Now, you guys might remember this viral video that I used as a framing device for a previous video to talk about a squatter situation, but that was made in parody to show how ridiculous the Portland laws are. But the thing is, these laws are in fact real. This joke tutorial is in fact good to use, and that's exactly what's happening over here. Now, a lot of times when I cover these squatter stories, people ask me why we even have squatters' rights. So I just want to explain that to you guys out there in the audience so you can understand it, and so that you can understand that this application of said squatters' rights does not fit within that. So back in the day when people used to travel across the frontier, they may end up in a situation where in need of shelter, they find a cabin in the woods that appears to be abandoned. So they end up setting shop in said cabin. Maybe they'll do work on the cabin in order to improve it. Maybe they'll plant crops. And then years later, the original owner of said cabin would return, and by the way, key point is years later, and they would demand access to their property. But the problem is, it isn't an easy situation where you can separate the work, the labor, the tilling of the land of the squatter versus the person who actually owned the property and left it in disarray. So a key component of squatters' rights is that you have to make improvement on the land. You actually have to work the land, till the land, and that is what denotes the property rights, because typically private property rights in part are seen as whether or not you're putting work into the property. A great analogy for this for you guys to think of is, let's say person A owns a bicycle and then person B steals said bicycle and sells it to person C. Person C decides that they're going to put pegs on the bike, they're going to repaint it, they're going to install a seat, only to find out later that it is owned by person A. So person A wants their bicycle back, and you can remove the seat, you can remove the pegs, but you can't really remove the paint that was added to the bicycle. So that person who didn't have any reason to believe they were doing something illegal should be compensated in some way, shape, or form for the work that they put in. Now, the thing that you need to understand both about how squatters' rights work and about this bike analogy is that the person who has the property and is making improvements to the property, by the way, that's absolutely crucial, did not intend to steal property in any way, shape, or form. They did not knowingly try to deprive the original property owner of what they owned. They ended up taking it over due to circumstances that led them to believe it was legitimate to do so. That's the whole issue at hand with squatters' rights, and why situations like this should in no way, shape, or form be covered by squatters' rights, let alone be covered after only 30 days of living there.
I have video of you. Hold on. Hold on. Figure out the situation. Yeah, but they're my house, man.
Relax.
No.
To understand how this day ended.
We need the police right away.
With multiple 911 calls and arrests.
So it's important for you guys to understand that the guy who's screaming, "They're in my house, they're in my house," is not in fact the homeowner of this house. This is a person stealing the house from the legitimate homeowner who actually brought the deed to the property to prove her ownership of said home, an up-to-date deed. However, this is a squatter who snuck into the property when it was available after the death of the relative of the person who left her the home.
We have to start at the beginning.
Adele, the hardest question is, how do you say your name?
We met Adele Andaloro outside the home her parents left her in Flushing, Queens. She's in the process of selling it.
No, he left it.
But she's been locked out. She claimed squatters moved in on February 6th and refused to leave.
What's it like being here knowing you can't go inside of your own home?
It's enraging. It really is.
So like they say in the local news story, she got the house from the dead relative. She decided that she's going to sell the home because she doesn't need two homes. Yet she discovered that she was locked out of her own property. Now, this is Flushing, New York. It is technically in New York City. However, it's in the borough of Queens. So as just a rough, quick estimate of what you could get for this property, I would say bare minimum, you would be able to get $700,000. However, I would not be surprised if this property would go north of $1 million, depending on its size, how close it is to mass transit and whatnot, whether or not it's close enough to be classified as an easy two-fare zone or possibly a more difficult two-fare zone, because this is a very appealing piece of territory. And by the way, this particular neighborhood is actually being bought up by a lot of Asian investors from China, from Korea, and whatnot. So yeah, this home, good to go for a good amount of money. It is a good inheritance to leave to your relative. But unfortunately, we have a thief that is using and abusing the law, a la that TikTok video, in order to steal this property.
In New York, squatters have rights after 30 days.
By the time that someone does their investigation and they do their work and their job, will be well over the 30 days, and this man will have stolen my home.
And this is another key part of the problem. Because these rights kick in at 30 days, the 30-day mark, you don't even actually have to be in the home for the full 30 days in order to get this possession of the home and make it a huge problem for the legitimate owner to have to take you to court and spend thousands upon thousands of dollars in order to evict you. By the way, a process that in the city of New York can take up to 2 years. Because you end up in this situation where the police don't act right away, even if you have only a couple of days of residency in this home, illegal residency in this home, you end up dragging that process out. And once you get over the 30-day mark, even if you have a pending investigation due to your trespassing in this home, that still doesn't count and it still gets rerouted to the normal eviction process, which is absolutely insane.
This made the owner super angry, so she lawyers up and tries to evict me. Of course, I can't afford a lawyer, so I call up a tenant advocacy group who gives me a lawyer that's 100% free and funded by taxpayers. So my out-of-pocket is still $0. So this lawyer fights on my behalf for months and months, really driving the owner crazy and costing her tens of thousands of dollars. Finally, the owner decided it would be cheaper to just give me a chunk of cash to leave rather than continue paying the lawyer. So she writes me a check for $10,000 and I move out. I didn't even have to clean the place up, and that's a good thing because I do a lot of drugs and the house looks every bit of it.
And by the way, when I talked about earlier how the genesis of these squatters' rights were all about improving the home, tilling the land, etc., these people tend to destroy the home and they're actually incentivized to do so because that puts pressure on the homeowner to actually give them a financial settlement.
Now she's back.
Just after wrapping up our interview, a woman showed up.
What are you doing in the house? Are you renting this house?
I'm not renting.
Why are you here?
She unlocked the front door, saw our cameras, and took off.
It's open. Let's go in the house. It's open.
So again, while I will point out that somebody else who had their face blurred was only there, according to him, for 2 days, and he might not know the whole breadth of the situation, this woman appears to be there much longer. She unlocks the door, but the local news is blurring her face. The only way, because the laws are so broken in the city of New York, that we're going to get some justice for this family is to be able to shame these people who are stealing this home, and yet we're not allowed to do that because the local news is hamstringing us.
Adele and her daughter, with a property deed in hand, went inside.
This is my furniture. These are my curtains.
She didn't just find her belongings inside.
There's a man sleeping right there. Get out of my house.
She found two men.
How long have you lived here?
I moved in about 2 days ago.
They've called the police on me, and I've called the locksmiths. I didn't come in illegally. The door was open.
Police started interviewing neighbors and looking for documents.
Do you have something that shows that you've been here for more than 30 days?
They took the man who told me he had been renting for 2 days out in handcuffs.
They got one out.
And escorted the other guy off the property.
Now you're afraid to come out.
I'm not coming out. This house is empty. This is my home. My locksmith is on the corner waiting to change my locks. And that's not fair. It's not fair that I, as the homeowner, should be having to go through this.
Now, again, in this situation, the cops ended up kicking both of these people out who said they were only there for a couple of days. I'm certain one of the people who got arrested in this situation had a warrant. They're just not describing that to the local news. But look at the absurdity of the situation that New Yorkers, good, hardworking New Yorkers, are put in, where this woman is conducting the rest of the interview from inside the home through the windows because she's afraid that as soon as she leaves it, the non-legitimate owner of the home, the person who's taking advantage of the squatter system, who, by the way, is subleasing the property to multiple different people, including criminals, is going to come back and take this property, and the police are going to side with them. And unfortunately, everything I just said not only happens in this story, but it also results in this woman's arrest.
How you doing?
Minutes later, a locksmith showed up, but police gave her a warning before they left.
I may end up in handcuffs today if this man shows up here and says that I have illegally evicted him. I said to them, let him take me to court the way I've been told to take him to court. But today, I'm not leaving my house.
Less than 10 minutes after police left and the locks were changed. The man who claims to be the one actually leasing the house shows up.
Call the police again.
With the other guy, police took off the property.
So right here, you have the main primary squatter. He decided that he was going to break down the door in order to get in. And to be clear, it is unambiguous that this man has no right to this property other than the absurd squatter's rights that are granted to him by the city of New York, which are illegitimate in every possible way, as I broke down throughout the course of this video. But he is allowed to break down this door. He's allowed to force his way in with somebody who, by the way, the police told to leave earlier. And guess what? The homeowner's going to get arrested. We are going to see her being led away in handcuffs because she doesn't want to surrender her property to this violent thug, this criminal, this person who deserves to be named and shamed for what he's doing to her.
Do you see this? This guy just literally broke down my door. Broke through myself and my daughter to get in here. This guy just forced himself into my house.
No, he did not.
Yes, he did.
No, he didn't.
And so did you.
Ma'am.
You broke through the front door.
Officer.
The man called the police on her.
So here you have this guy saying, no, I did not. I did not force my way into this home, even though we can see on the video, he did that very thing. He just did it. We can see it for ourselves. This is what is going on right here. And he calls the police because, of course, in the upside down world, in these crazy places where they grant squatters rights in 30 days of all times, that's what's going to go down. And by the way, I just want to point out, she did say earlier, and I kind of glossed over it, that all of her property is still in this home.
This is my furniture. These are my curtains.
She didn't just find her belongings inside.
So apparently, according to New York City squatters' rights, you not only get to steal a home if you get in there for 30 days, but you also get the right to all of the property, the ability to lock out the homeowner, because, you know, God forbid, we actually protect the property rights of the actual individual who owns the property when we can protect the rights of the thief, the super rights of the thief, if you will.
So why is it that I have to leave and he doesn't have to leave?
Because technically, he can't be kicked out. You need to go to court.
They consider this a landlord-tenant issue. And by law, it has to be handled through the housing court, not with police.
Now, look, unfortunately, the police are in a very precarious position right here, because if they were to remove this man, who calls himself Brian Rodriguez, from this property, there would be no charges that would stick. He would be released due to bail reform, same day automatic release, and he would be back out on the streets. And unfortunately, New York has denoted the right to steal property as long as you get in for 30 days to this individual, and he's taking advantage of the system. So they have to tell her that it's a civil matter, although, again, the civil court process takes multiple years. And by the way, according to the New York Post, this home is closer to the $1 million range from my price estimate earlier, just from looking at the property. But again, that is up to market conditions and all that. But point being, this is a valuable asset that this individual is stealing from her, and he's absolutely indignant about what he's doing. And again, he calls himself Brian Rodriguez. Let's get a look at his face. Because this guy's absolute scum.
If you own this house, you would not want her inside.
I don't own the house. I don't own it.
Exactly,
yes.
She does.
Yes, but then once again, you should know how the law works.
I do know how it works.
There's rules to the as you got to go to court and send me to civil court.
He says he signed a lease in October, but wouldn't tell us with who.
I got proof longer than that.
Show us the proof.
Well, who are you for me to show? I showed it to cops.
Dan with Channel 7 News. If you don't want to show, you don't want to show.
So again, you could just hear the indignant nature in his voice. He's like, oh, look, I had this property since October. I don't believe this to be true. Again, it seems to be that this was left to this woman on February 6th. That's when this person seems to have moved in and around there due to the death and whatnot. But he's claiming that he has these rights to this property. He's showing some bills or whatever, no lease, no nothing. And it just goes to show you how insane the situation is, where this guy didn't even go through the trouble of printing up a fake lease, signing it to himself in order to have this property. He's just saying, look, I have some proof right here. And yeah, there's a process and all that, which he is fully aware of. This is a situation where somebody is knowingly and intentionally stealing a property. And honestly, what they need to do is make this a criminal offense. So after this whole eviction process is gone through, this guy can spend 10 years in prison. And yes, I'm dead serious about that. 10 years in prison is the deserved sentence for stealing somebody's home, putting them through all this nonsense. And unfortunately, the likely result of this situation is that this guy is going to be able to live in this home for up to 2 years, end up getting a free lawyer paid for by New York City taxpayers because, you know, tenants' rights and all that, while this woman spends tens of thousands of dollars to evict him, which will ultimately end up resulting in a cash settlement paid from her to him to get him out of her property. And by the way, when he subleases to all these different other people, that's going to create similar situations. So it's going to cost the homeowner tens of thousands of dollars. But again, she's losing $1 million asset, not making any money off of it, paying property taxes, and being responsible for all the damages that this person will inflict on the property.
You don't want to show it.
Come here, brother. I like that.
I would like to see it.
He didn't show me a lease.
This is a bill.
A bill for work he says he had done to the house. He didn't show police a lease either.
The police department doesn't have the lease?
No.
He's got no documentation.
Just bills.
This guy doesn't have any documentation. He says he has bills for work that he had done on the house. Just think about that. He's showing bills for people that he allegedly hired to work on a house that he is stealing from this woman, and she is going to be arrested without any kind of evidence, any kind of production of documents to show that he actually lives here in any meaningful way.
So, Adele, you're getting arrested right now?
I'm being arrested.
For what?
For being in my own home.
And where's your lease?
She's fighting the house. It's not her house anymore.
My deed is current and legal.
Arrested for unlawful eviction. She changed the locks on a man who claims he lives there.
You see this guy saying, oh, she's fighting the house. It's not her house anymore because this guy stole it. This guy who calls himself Brian Rodriguez is a thief who stole this house from her. And unfortunately, the laws in New York City end up aiding and abetting his criminality. It's absurd in every possible way. And again, 10 years in prison. You know what? 15 years in prison. Send him to jail. Send him up the river. And by the way, if he has any friends or family, nobody should talk to them. They should be mean to them in the grocery store line as well, because this is an action of absolute scum and he should be treated as such.
So how does this all end then? When do you leave?
The way it ends is either she pays me my money that I put into the house, pay me the money and I'll leave, or send me to court and we deal with the judge in court. It's that simple.
So yeah, you have this guy saying, look, the way that this ends is she's got to pay me. She's got to put the money in my pocket that I put into this house, which again, if he's legitimately renting this property, why is he putting in for home improvements? And why is the homeowner responsible for home improvements allegedly that were done that she didn't ask for? This is a cash grab. This is embarrassing in every possible way that it's happening in the city of New York. But this is just the trouble that property owners have to go through in order to live in this city. And again, she inherited this property. This was something that was passed down to her for a dead relative. So that relative passes away. She has to deal with the consequences of that, all while this scumbag, Brian Rodriguez, ends up pulling into this property, if that is even his real name. And the police, unfortunately, based on the laws, end up siding with him. Now, obviously, I'm not about this life. Obviously, I want to shame this individual. I want people to know what he did. Again, nobody should be friends with him. Nobody should eat lunch with him. And it's very shameful to me that this guy is able to get away with it. He's able to waste the resources. I mean, just look at how many officers from the 109th precinct ended up showing up to deal with this. And every law and everything is on his side. And again, we're paying for this as taxpayers because of these tenants' rights legislations that actually guarantee this guy a lawyer to continually defraud the system. I think he should be made to pay the legal fees for this fraudulent situation. He should be jailed for what did I say, 15 years before? How about 20 years? And nobody should ever talk to any of his relatives. He should be denied service. They should be forced to stand wherever they go. You can't even get a seat on the bus based on the fact that he's committing this crime, which should be a prosecutable criminal offense, not just a civil matter. But hey, those are just my thoughts. Let me know your thoughts down in the comments below. If you liked this video, then show them by leaving a like. Subscribe for more content. Follow me on my social media. Support reviews, support links in the description of this video. This has been me talking about the absolute craziness of squatters' rights in the city of New York. Till next time.